Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Clint Wilder is our new friend, ladies and gentlemen. He's with us. He's contributing editor at Clean Edge, and he's been covering the high-tech, clean-tech industries as a business journalist for quite some time now. He's the co-author, along with Ron Pernick, of the new book called The Clean Tech Revolution, and exactly what you think. That's exactly what he's here to talk about, clean technology. And Clint, we're glad to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Congratulations on your book. This is an exciting topic that you have. It's a very appropriate book. I think your timing is perfect for this on many levels. I think even, you know, everybody, even the most recalcitrant 20th century thinkers are realizing that we've got to be cleaner with our technology, aren't we?
Absolutely. What we see is a really broad, worldwide effort, bipartisan among business, governments, consumers. We're really embracing this for a wide variety of reasons, but I think our main point, not the least of which, is the money-making opportunity that it provides.
That's one of the big things that I know you talk about in your book is where the opportunity, business opportunity, is in clean tech and to take advantage of some of these things. And I'm glad that you do point those out. You know, I was just I'll tell you what. Let's do. Let's go down through Let's tick off some of the main areas that you think is the clean technology of the future. Go give us a list.
Okay. Well, some of them, may be the obvious ones. Solar energy, wind power, biofuels and biomaterials, green buildings, and a whole range of energy efficiency technologies that mm-hmm. sometimes get overlooked, not as sexy, perhaps, as solar panels or wind turbines, but, anything that really the cheapest and cleanest power you'll ever get is the power you never have to generate in the first place.
Right.
And that's what efficiency is all about.
Solar and wind, basically, are the two main ones, and I would think. Also, another thing you talk about in your book is personal power.
Personal power go ahead.
No. If I'm not mistaken, one of the things you talk about is the energy that you can create of your own personal transportation, like I say personal power, I'm talking about bicycles and things like that. But it's interesting that I was just in Copenhagen, as my audience knows, last week. And I saw a lot of examples of where they use solar energy. There are a couple of dozen huge 300-foot-tall windmills right off the coast out of Copenhagen. They have green buildings there. You know what their green buildings? You know what it means to have a green building in Copenhagen?
What's that?
No air conditioning.
Uh-huh. But is it cool enough?
Well, you know what? This is an interesting thing that kind of boggled our minds. They don't have air conditioning, and it's cool enough. We were there. It was pretty warm when we were there. I didn't mind the temperature. The problem is they don't move air over there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're in a room with where there's no – and there is no air conditioning, folks, over there, almost no air conditioning except some of the hotels. When you're in a room over there, if no windows are open, there's no wind – there's no air moving. Mm-hmm. I didn't see one single ceiling fan while I was over there.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I think that may be a cultural thing as much as anything.
Well, but moving air is a human thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised that they didn't at least move air.
Mm-hmm. But I think your main point there is without air conditioning, which is very energy intensive,
mm-hmm.
The temperature itself can be quite comfortable if you've designed the building properly.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and with probably some state-of-the-art technologies like chilled beams in the floor and things like that to accomplish what your blowing air conditioner would otherwise do.
Exactly. So there's a big debate going on right now. In fact, the President Bush, even as we speak, if I'm not mistaken, is talking about reducing emissions in the G8 meetings that are going on right now.
Well, he's talking about it, and that's a good sign. What we in the book, what we advocate is something a little more than just talking about it, though. You know, specific policies in place,
like what?
Like we have here in California, where I live. Mandate a limit on greenhouse gases, but give businesses the time and the tools to achieve those goals because they're set out into the future. In fact, I saw Governor Schwarzenegger speaking about this a couple weeks ago at an event that General Electric put on in Los Angeles, and he, you know, as you well know, he's been very out front and articulate on the point that environmental leadership and business leadership really can go hand in hand, and he's one of the best examples of that.
As long as everybody's playing with and dealing in good faith.
Absolutely.
And I believe that the Kyoto Accords was not dealing in good faith. I'm a staunch opponent of the Kyoto Accords, and any kind of Kyoto-like international construct, Clint, because those were not dealing in good faith. That program was nothing but an attempt to make the United States less competitive. That's my opinion.
Well, I mean, we can debate Kyoto if you want, but I think, you know, now the point is to look beyond Kyoto.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those who say that nations like China and India have to be part of this are absolutely right.
Absolutely. And they were not part of Kyoto.
Yes, I understand that. But I also believe that, the United States, as the world's largest producer of greenhouse gas, at least for now, although China's catching up, needs to really be the leader on this.
Well, let me say this, Clint. I completely believe. I'm going to say right up front, very quickly, that I believe that we've all got to do a better job with our emissions. I do believe that human beings contributing to some of the global warming issues. I believe global warming started about 15,000 years ago. I don't think it had happened, you know, in the last 30 years. But I do believe that we've got to do some things. But what we've got to make sure we don't do is we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we'll talk about this some more with our new friend Clint Wilder. He and his partner Ron Pernick are the authors of The Clean Tech Revolution. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is our main site where you can go and find our show and take possession of some of the interviews and use them you can have fair use, folks, of our interviews if you want to. You can podcast them, you can download them, you can listen to them by streaming. They're all MP3 now. So check all that out when you get a chance. Don't forget, we got thousands of those. We've got thousands of articles. We have our blog there that's updated every weekday. You can subscribe to our free newsletter, which comes every Sunday by email. And then, of course, AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you can go to ask small business questions and get answers now. Clint Wilder is our guest. He and Ron Pernick are the authors of The Clean Tech Revolution. Did I say his name right? Ron Pernick?
Pernick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pernick, Ron Pernick, the co-author with Clint Wilder, our guest this half hour, of The Clean Tech Revolution. Clint, tell us where the book's available and give us your website, please.
Okay, the book goes on sale tomorrow. And should be in all the major bookstores, as well as the online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. The website is thecleantechrevolution.com.
Well, we're glad to be part of the launch of your book, Clint, because I think it's an important one. It is a business book, folks, and it incorporates the business realities and opportunities along with the policy realities and opportunities. Would that be a fair assessment, Clint?
That would be, and then there's one other component. We call them the three pillars that you need to grow this industry, and really any industry when you think about it, and that's capital, as in, you know, business initiatives,
right,
and investment, policy, the right incentives in place, and technology. This is, after all, the clean tech revolution, and it really is about, you need the technology advancements to bring down prices, bring down costs, and increase efficiencies and get these things out into the marketplace. But you really do need all three of those components working hand in hand.
Clint, do we have the technology to get ourselves out of this dependence upon carbon fuels? Do we have the technology to do that over the next few years, but maybe just not the inclination?
Or, yeah,
what do you think?
I think that we do. Given if we can just accelerate the pace of the innovation, the funding, and the adoption of these technologies, we're pretty optimistic that that clean tech really can save the day, but not completely on its own. I mean, it needs leadership, both business and political leadership.
Well, there's a transition. There's a transition that we've got to go through. It seems to me, Clint, we're in a transition. I think right now we're beginning to enter a transition period. There's going to be another one, maybe for a generation. There's going to be some pain in that transition. There's going to have to be some investment without immediate dividend to be paid. We're going to have to be patient, and we're going to have faith and vision, and we're all going to have to be dealing in good faith. It seems to me that we got to have all that combination, Clint, which includes technology, and we got to learn to conserve. But we also have to not be foolhardy about the resources that we have at available to us. I mean, it's not just about technology in the United States. Of course, what you're talking about is globally. But we also have to think about, the United States. What's good for our own national security?
Well, that's you bring up a great point. And that's why we see clean tech getting more and more supporters from, from different corners of the political spectrum. Because of the national security issue. I mean, it's,
right,
no one wants this dependence on the Middle East or Venezuela for our energy,
right,
supply. And so you see people like Jim Woolsey, who's a former head of the CIA,
mm-hmm,
and Bud McFarland, who was Reagan's national security advisor, really leading the way on promotion of biofuels. And Jim Woolsey drives a Prius hybrid, and it's showing that this is absolutely a bipartisan issue, and that's one of the main points of our book.
What technologies, in the minute and a half we have left, what technologies do you see on the near and mid and long term horizon that you think could really shake things up?
You see the growth of hybrid cars, happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
We see real dramatic advancements right around the corner in solar energy, new materials, dramatically improved efficiencies, and most importantly, lower costs. Because the biggest problem with solar has been its relative expense.
And it's ugly.
Pardon me?
And it's ugly.
Well, that's changing too.
Yeah.
Because now you can have the what they call building integrated solar,
mm-hmm,
where it's just part of the building, and you don't have to have these big, big panels.
Big panels.
Mounted.
Well, and also, as Frank Lloyd Wright said, build a building of the hill, not on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shape, situate your building. But a lot of other things coming down the road. What do you think about hydrogen? We've got about 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, hydrogen is still a fairly long-term play.
Uh-huh. Longer than, so we'll have biofuels first before hydrogen.
Exactly right. Yes.
Will it be sugar or will it be corn and other biofuels? Which will go to petroleum first? Sugar or corn?
Corn and sugar first, and then cellulosic ethanol made from switchgrass and other products.
I got you.
That's the best.
The Clean Tech Revolution by Clint Weiler and Ron Pernick. Thanks, Clint, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Quick break. Right back with Michael Barrera. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.